we've sensed your presence. Lord, that we know that you're here. And Lord, we just pray as we open your word, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, because, Lord, you want us to grow in you, Lord, and our heart is to grow more and more like you, Lord, to grow deeper in the things of God. And so, Lord, we open our hearts today. Lord, speak to each and every one of us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we've got a theme for this year, which is about going deeper in the things of God. And I want to talk about something very fundamental this morning. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and in the first couple of verses, it talks about some fundamental things or elementary things, some basic things that we need to have, but then also to move on from. And if we really want to go deeper in the things of God, then we need to make sure that those elementary things or those fundamental things are bedded in. You won't be able to go deeper in the things of God unless you got the fundamentals right, unless you got those basic things right. And one of those fundamental things is this area of water and baptism. As you can see, we've got the tank there. And if you see Paul getting up and down out of his seat to check the water, that's okay. We want to make sure we're not cooking the people being baptized today. And so we're looking forward to, and I just want to spend some time talking a little bit more about water baptism and the significance of water baptism and how important it is. And as I said, if you really are serious about going deeper, then make sure you get the fundamentals right. And so we get saved, we give our life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that today, then that's the very first fundamental, is to come into the kingdom of God by acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. And then the second step in our Christian walk, and an important fundamental step, is to be baptized in water. And then subsequently, we have the empowering of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, which we'll talk about on another occasion. But water baptism is an important thing. And certainly as we look in the scripture, when they talked about people being coming under water and being baptized, it wasn't something that was strange to them. Certainly in the Jewish culture, they have two main ways of ritual or ceremonial cleansing. One of those is what the Jews had in their culture was. One was washing of hands, ceremonial washing of hands. And so if you did this, you touched your nose or your ear or your scalp, or, and for me that's a lot easier than a lot of you, if you did something like that, then you'd have to be ceremonially wash your hands. And that would be, you get a cup and each hand would have to be washed three times. And it was one of the ritual cleansings that the Jewish people had. The other one that they had, another, if you like, was what they called tevelah, which was if somebody was converting to, if they were a Jewish person, a Gentile converting to the Gentile faith, then they would go through this process of tevelah, where they would have a ritual cleansing where they were fully immersed in water, and then they would come out of that water. And so if you converted to Judaism, or if you touched a dead person, or a whole lot of different things, preparing for Yom Kippur, they'd have to go through this ceremonial cleansing, which involved you going right down under the water and from there. And so certainly in Jesus' times, and we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist coming in just a second, but certainly they were well aware of the idea of people getting underwater for cleansing as a part of their whole culture, as something that was an important part of that. And then we find that certainly in the early church, we see that Jesus establishes two ordinances in the life of the church, two that he commanded. One is communion, which we've just partaken of, which is a representation of the cross. It's an image, it's a picture of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so that bit of biscuit stays a bit of biscuit. It just represents the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. And that juice, it doesn't turn into anything else. It stays as juice, but it represents, it's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And certainly water baptism is a very powerful picture for what was done on the cross. And so the two ordinances, one is communion, and the second one that Jesus instituted was water baptism. And so we see in Matthew 28, where Jesus commanded and said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he commanded that we be baptized. And so it was one of two things that Jesus instigated in the life of the church, two things that are very important, and something, two things that we certainly participate in the life of this church as the Lord has commanded us to do. And so in the early church, we have baptism. I want to start right at the very beginning in a moment. But we'll see that over time what happened is that rather than baptizing believers, which is the scriptural basis, is baptizing believers, and we'll have a quick look at that in a moment. But over history, what happened was it morphed rather than just being baptism in full immersion, which is what baptism means. We'll talk about that as well. It morphed to become more just like the washing of hands, where they would pour water over on someone, and then they ended up bringing into infant baptism, became a part of the church later on, and as the centuries progressed. And then it was turned back again, then when we had the Anabaptists and others that came and said, no, hang on, let's get back to the biblical pattern of baptism, which is baptism by full immersion, and we'll have a look at these things. That gives us a little brief rundown of the history, but let's pick up with John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, it was a very powerful ministry. He came as a forerunner to Jesus Christ. And so John the Baptist, it said, he came as the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he had a baptism of repentance. And so people, when they came to John the Baptist, they knew there was something different about the baptism that John the Baptist was doing. There was a ritual cleansing in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish religion, but John the Baptist was doing something different. His was one of repentance, that there had to be a heart that turned, and then they were baptized. And then we start, and I want to start in this little passage here in Matthew chapter 3, and we really appreciate that. It'll come up there on their screen, it already has. Of John the Baptist, when Jesus came to him to be baptized. Now, remember, with the Jewish culture, they're aware of a ritual cleansing, but then John the Baptist comes and he brings in this baptism, which is one of repentance. And so one is, if you get washed, then that'll make you clean. But the other, what John the Baptist was bringing in, one of repentance, you as of repenting from all your sin and turning your heart towards God, and then you would go down. And so rather than getting baptized to be cleansed, he's saying, no, you clean your heart before the Lord, and then you will be baptized. And so that was a new kind of baptism, if you like, that John the Baptist had instituted at that time. And people were coming from all over the place because they knew about ritual cleansing, but they didn't know about a heart of repentance and coming unto the Lord in that way. And so people were flocking to John the Baptist to be saved. John the Baptist, as we know, was the cousin of Jesus. And so let's pick it up here in Matthew chapter 3 in verses 13 to 17. Now, earlier on, we had Pharisees coming there and just checking out what are all these people flocking to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? And has a go at them because of the hypocrisy and the religiosity of them and not really coming with a heart. They were ones who wanted to have ritual rather than have repentance and rather than have life. And so John the Baptist challenged them on that. This isn't a religious ritual. This is about repentance. This is about life. And so Jesus comes to John the Baptist. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Now, that's an interesting phrase because the way Jesus was baptized, in fact, every single instance of someone being baptized in Scripture is coming up out of the water. It's by full immersion. When we baptize people, we're not just like a ritual washing. No, they're immersing them completely in water, and there's a significance of that later. But we don't just sprinkle people or just wash their hair or just pour water over them. We actually baptize them, and that's literally what the word means. Nobody in that day had any question what the word baptize means. It was a very common word. It meant to immerse completely. If you wanted to dye a garment, you didn't just pour a little bit of water over it or sprinkle it. You actually baptized that garment and you baptized it. You fully immersed it in the dye so that it was fully under, immersed in the dye. And then, of course, you bring it out and then it was a new color. It was changed. It was dyed. And so people fully understood that. And it was a word that's been around for a couple of hundred years before even Jesus came. Nicander was famous. He was a poet and a bit of a philosopher. But he also made the first pickling recipe, or the first one that was recorded. And he talked about that we would bapto a little pickle, you bapto, which means to dip that into the hot boiling water. And then you would baptizo, the actual pickle that had already been dipped in the boiling water, and then you put it in the vinegar solution and you would fully immerse it in there. And so everybody knew what baptized means. Everybody knew that it meant to be fully immersed. And certainly that's why when you see people being baptized, they're going to go right down under the water. And yes, they will come up out of the water, praise God, just as Jesus did when he was baptized. And at the moment, the heaven was opened, and they saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And certainly when you were baptized, when you submit to water baptism in the biblical sense, then the blessing of God is upon you. And the Lord says, "I am pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with your heart." And so Jesus himself, he came to be baptized, which is an interesting thing. It was a very radical thing because it was a baptism of repentance. Now, we know Jesus came, Father coming down in human form, God himself coming down in human form and living and walking among us. And Christ, obviously, was without sin. He had to be sinless because he had to be that sinless sacrifice for our sins. And so Christ was sinless. And yet Jesus comes and he submits himself to baptism. And that's why John the Baptist is saying, hang on a minute, this is a baptism of repentance. Jesus had no need to repent. Jesus never committed sin. He was sinless. He didn't have the original sin nature that we're born with because of he was supernaturally conceived as the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And then so there was no sin nature that was resident within Christ. So he had no need to be repenting. And he had really no need to be baptized. And that's why John the Baptist saying, whoa, hang on, you should baptize me. And Jesus said, no, let's do this. It's necessary for all to fulfill righteousness. And he was doing this as an example to us. He didn't need it for himself, but he was showing us the way that it's important for us as believers to go through the waters of baptism. And the thing about baptism is that, it really was a foreshadow of Jesus, actually, what he was doing on the cross. See, the whole thing about baptism, it is the powerful image of the cross, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And in a way, it was like looking forward what was going to happen to Jesus on the cross. And certainly when we look at this and we look at the importance of baptism, we'll have a look at these symbols of baptism, what it actually stands for, what it represents, what does it mean. One of the things about baptism, and it represents death. And really, when somebody goes down in the waters of baptism, they're really saying, I deserve to die. I deserve to die for all of the things that I've done. Now, the scripture makes it very, very clear, very clear, without any compromise. It says, the wages of sin of death, but the free gift of God is eternal of life. And it also tells us, it says, Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. None of us are good enough. None of us are going to make it on, oh, there's some cosmic scale where our good outweighs the bad. Forget that. Your scale, every one of us, is 100% bang on the you're in trouble side for every one of us. And we can never do anything to right that scale. We can be as good and as kind as whatever. Doesn't matter. We have that sin nature and we're sinful. And then bang, that scale is fully down there. The only way that we can have that righted is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That he takes the penalty. He takes the death that we all deserve. The only way to deal with that is we really deserve death for what we've done. All the way that we've violated everything that God stands for, each and every one of us. But rather than us having to suffer death, Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross in our place for our sin. He took the punishment that each and every one of us deserve without question and without exception. He took it on himself. He died on the cross in our place. And really, that's why baptism is such a powerful symbol of that when we've already given our life to Christ, but now I'm dead to sin, and it symbolizes what Jesus did on the cross. And that's the first thing that baptism represents to us. It's the representation of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:4, let's quickly have a look at that. It'll pop up there on the screen. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a normal life. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. And so we find that with the baptism that we're doing, it has incredible symbolism and incredible power in our actual baptism. So that when Jesus died on the cross in my place, and we know that Jesus died for us, for all of those who call upon the name of the Lord, we've got to respond to that. We need to accept that. We need to submit to that. We need to surrender to that. We need to apprehend that and say, Lord Jesus, I want what you did on the cross, the forgiveness of sins. I want it to apply for me. Lord, I want what you did to apply for me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. And what you did on the cross, Lord, what the shedding of your blood that washes away all sin, Lord, the forgiveness that you wrought, Lord, I want that for me. And then the promise of life. So when we are baptized in water, it's like, Jesus is dying on our place, like we're dying. It's like a death when we go down. You can't hold your breath very long on the water. Some people can go 5-6 minutes, some 6.5 or something, that are some of these pearl divers. I could probably do it for about 60 seconds and then that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm coming up. But it represents death. And for us, as we are baptized, it's like we are going down in the water, even as Christ died. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. And so us going down in the tomb. But we know that Jesus never stayed in the tomb. Jesus, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And because he conquered sin and conquered death, that we too may participate in eternal life. And so when we come up out of the water, even as Jesus was resurrected, it identifies for us, it symbolizes for us, helps us to understand. And Jesus has done it for us personally, that he was risen from the dead. And so the very important symbolism of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, very important picture. And the two ordinances that Jesus instituted, communion and baptism, both point us exactly to the cross of what Jesus Christ had done for us. It's all about the cross. It all comes down to the cross. Other thing that it symbolizes for us, baptism, is it symbolizes that our sins have been washed away. And what washes our sin away? Is it the water in the tank? No, it's not. This is Melbourne water. Melbourne water, yeah, it's good for your teeth, I hear, with the fluoride and whatever else. But it doesn't wash away sins. The only thing that can wash away sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. As he shed his blood, as his blood was flowing from his body, he was whipped and scourged and the crown of thorns and hung on the cross and his blood freely flowing. It's for the forgiveness of our sins. The scripture says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so he shed his blood. We don't sacrifice animals every week. Let's bring a lamb. Let's bring whatever. You can do that and have your roast at home. That's fine. But we don't sacrifice things here. Why? Because we had one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And as his blood was flowing, his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so getting baptized in the water isn't the thing that washes away your sin, but it helps us remind us and helps us apprehend what he's actually done. It says in 1 Peter 3:21, and this water, we're talking about this water. What's this water? It's actually the context of that, actually talking about Noah's Ark. Because remember, when the Lord flooded the earth, he brought the water to wipe away, eradicated sin, and he wiped and brought death in that way. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body. And we always encourage people getting baptized. Make sure you had a shower beforehand. We really appreciate that. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. Pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the one thing about being baptized, I was 8 years old when I was baptized and just so desperately wanting to follow the Lord, so desperately. And whatever the Lord Jesus said to do, I'm in it. I'm doing it. If Jesus said to do it, I'm going to do it. Lord, I want to obey. I want to do what you've told me to do. But the thing about that, I'd already given my heart to the Lord and I'd already loved Jesus. But I just remember when I went down in that water and I came up, man, I never felt so clean in all my life. And my parents had made sure that I'd have bath and whatever. But I felt so clean. And it just reminds us that when we are baptized, that we stand pure, clean and radiant, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Something in our own heart, there's something about water baptism. And yes, it's symbolic, but something in our own spirit. When we come out, we just, yes, Lord, this is mine. This is mine. It helps us to understand and apprehend what Jesus has already accomplished for us on the cross. Acts 22:19, it says, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. And so it symbolizes the washing of our sin away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the other thing is that it's an outward sign of something that's happened on the inside. Something's happened on the inside. You give your life to Christ, man, your whole world changes. Your eyes suddenly become open. And I saw this thing about this guy who saw the whole world in black and white, and he got given those special glasses that let colorblind people suddenly see color. And this guy is just, wow, I can see. You know, his whole world was black and white, and then all of a sudden he can see, and he's just amazed. He can see the world in color. When you give your life to Christ, that's what it's like. You live your whole life in black and white. You give your life to Jesus Christ, your world suddenly becomes color. You realize that there's a purpose in life. You realize that God has a plan for you. You realize God's heart for you and his love for you, his grace for you. How awesome is the love of God? It changes everything once we give our life to Christ. And so being baptized is an outward sign of having given our heart to Christ. It's an outward sign of an inner transformation. Something's inside, and this is an outward sign of that. Same as when you get married. You know, I've got my wedding ring. Now, putting on the ring didn't make me married. I made a covenant promise with my wife. That was my marriage. And this is a symbol, a reminder of that. And in the same way that when we're baptized, it's a symbol of that. And it's an outward sign of something that's already been transacted by the cross of Jesus Christ. And it says in Colossians 2:11-12, in him you were also circumcised. See, circumcision was something that was instituted under the law of Moses. And as a part of that, they had to have all the males had to be circumcised from 8 days onwards, 8 days old. They were all circumcised. And that was an outward sign that these people actually belonged to God. They cut away some flesh, and it was a symbol that these people, an outward symbol that these people actually belonged to God. In him you're also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. So not like under the law of Moses. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so circumcision was an outward sign for us. How outward sign? What's the outward sign that something has happened within us? Well, on the new covenant we talked about, our outward sign is water baptism. Something's happened inside my heart. And the thing that identifies and shows, yes, I belong to Christ, is the fact that I've been through the waters of baptism. That is the point. That is the defining moment that outwardly identifies. It's already happened inwardly. It's already been transacted in heaven. It's because of a response to Jesus Christ. But that is our outward sign. And that's why it is so very important. And that's why it's important for us to remember it's the cross that saves us, not baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. The cross saves you. What Jesus did on the cross saves us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom or elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So the Apostle Paul, he's primarily was the good news, was preaching the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sins, so that when you go to heaven, I pray that you go to heaven. When you stand before the Father, you won't be standing before the Father on your own merits, on what you've done. It's on what Christ has accomplished as we give our life to Christ, as we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. I would hate to be someone, my heart goes out for people who are living their life and they're just hoping when they die, oh, I hope that I make it. Pray for me that I make it. Look, I can pray forever that you will make it, but that makes no difference. The only thing that whether you make it or not is your own personal response to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to respond. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. I pray that you open your heart. I pray that you soften your heart, that you'll, because the Lord's already, every person who doesn't know him, the Lord's already calling, already drawing them. And maybe some of you here this morning thought, yeah, I just feel this tugging at my heart. Well, that's the Lord drawing it to him today. But to know with certainty what will happen to us, and the only way to be certain is to give our life to Jesus Christ. And so the good news of the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for our place, for our sin. And that's what Paul was committed to. And that's what his ministry was. And yes, he said, look, I didn't baptize many people. I baptized a couple, the family of Stephanas and some others. And he goes, well, maybe them as well. But my primarily was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he was not saying baptism wasn't important. He was saying the preeminence of the cross was very important. Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And it's not from yourself. It's a gift of God. And we need to receive that gift. It's not by works so any man can boast. And you'll find that's why as a church, we don't baptize babies. Because it says it's by faith you're saved. And in the scripture, never in any case did baptism precede faith. It was always faith Then there was baptism, always faith. Then there was baptism. And as babies, as we know, babies don't have a lot of faith. So they may be that mummy will come and pick me up because I'm crying and I'm hungry and my nappy's full and whatever it is. And so we believe in a believer's baptism, that people actually are able to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. It's a believer's baptism that we have. It's by Christ. And it's because of the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, that he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. And so very important we understand that the act of baptism does not save us. It's the act of the cross that saves us. And so it's salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is an interesting thing that does happen, though, when you become a Christian, when you're born again. And not with this, there's actually really three baptisms, if you like. Three baptisms. This is number two we're talking about, water baptism. The third one is being baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that another time. But there's a baptism that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ has automatically gone through. It talks about this in Galatians 3, 26 to 27. And it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And really what it's saying there is that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you commit yourself to him, you are immersed in Christ. You are clothed in Christ is the other image. But when we give our life to Christ, we're all in. Lord, I'm all in. I'm giving everything I am into Jesus. And it uses that image about being baptized into Christ. Romans 6:4 talks about baptism of water. Romans 6:3, we won't look at that now. That really is referring to this, being baptized into the body of Christ. And so when you become a Christian, when you're born again, you're baptized into Christ. In other words, you're immersed in Christ. You're immersed in Christ. So that's the first thing. What we're talking about, second thing here, is water baptism. So why is water baptism important then? Why should I get baptized then if it doesn't make me saved, if the cross alone makes me saved? Why should I get baptized? Because I tell you what, when Jesus instituted in Matthew 28, when he said, go into all the world and all the nations, he said, he talked about teaching them to obey and baptizing. And so part of discipling, if you want to be on your disciple journey, if you want to go deeper, you've got to get baptized. Don't kid yourself that you're going to go deeper in the things of God if you missed out on the foundation. You've never been baptized by full immersion, what baptism means, right under the water and up out of the water. You're not going to go deeper. You might have some experiences and things, but until you're baptized, you're really not in that position to do that. Why is it so important to get baptized? Because the biblical pattern was that people receive Christ and then they get baptized. It's an automatic thing. It's not an optional, oh, look, you know, if you feel like it, if you're really at that point. It was an automatic thing. When people get saved, the automatic response then is to get baptized, to be water baptized. And so we really want to follow Christ's example and obedience, and those getting baptized today are doing that. And as I said, Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go make all disciples of all nations and baptize them. So it's obedience that we're doing this. Jesus did it. I want to follow his example and everything that Jesus did. Lord, I want to follow your example. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to follow. I want to do the things you told us to do. And he told us about being baptized. And then Peter said, repent and be baptized. And so we need to do that if we want to be obedient to the things of God. If you really are following Jesus Christ, it's really to run around and say, everyone, yes, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. But I haven't actually done the first fundamental thing. We're actually living in disobedience. That's what we're doing. All right, so it's one, we get saved, and we're saved because of Jesus Christ. And so if you give your life to Christ and a bus runs over you as you walk at the door, you know you're going to heaven 100%. We know the thief on the cross who was with Jesus Christ, he's never water baptized because it wasn't very convenient for him when he was hanging there on the cross. But Jesus said to him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. But the pattern is that we get water baptized. It's not when I feel like it, it's an optional extra. It's something that we do in obedience unto the Lord. And the other thing, as I said earlier, is we identify with what Christ did on the cross. It is so powerful. You know, like sometimes when people give their heart to the Lord and they have a bit of an understanding and a bit of an idea, yeah, I know I've sinned and I know that I'm not right with God and I want to get right with God. And I know I got to get right with God. They have that on their heart. But until they actually go through the waters of baptism, that's when it seems to come so much more real for us individually. Not the point of salvation. It's when we give our life to Christ. But when we are baptized and you come up out of that water, you think, wow, it suddenly becomes so much more real for us. And I find that those people who grow and strong in the faith are those that have been water baptized. You see those who fall away because they're the ones who, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, but they never get water baptized. And so because they've already initially rejected the first step of obedience, disobedience will follow them in their life. We want to make sure that we get things right in the things of God. The other thing is that it's a public confession of what Jesus Christ has done. You can't be a secret Christian. You give your life to Christ. There has to be that outward sign. And it says in Luke 12:8, Jesus said, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. And so that public confession is really important. And certainly, as I started talking about the Jewish culture, they knew exactly what that meant. And if you talk to Christians in a Muslim nation and people, a Muslim getting baptized, they know exactly what that means. That means that all the other ties and things away. And some will even do that really at risking their own life to be doing that, to be cut off by their family in some cultures and some religious backgrounds. And people understand that, and we need to understand it's really important that we are being baptized. And so I just want to encourage everyone today, as we have these baptisms in just a couple of moments, they're going to be going out and getting changed in just a moment, that if you're not baptized, can I encourage you to do that? Your salvation doesn't depend on it. You're saved because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's because of Christ, because of the cross, the gospel, the good news that you're saved. But the next first thing we want to do is say, I want to follow Jesus and I want to walk in obedience unto him. And so the first thing I want to do is step into water baptism, as it happened in the Bible, coming full immersion, coming up out of the water. And that's my encouragement to all of us. And so if you haven't been baptized, man, don't mess around with it. Don't mess around. It's when I feel like an optional extra. It's something that's important. Because if we're serious about our walk with Christ, then we will be serious about obeying him. Amen? And so following him in that example. But also the wonder of that. As I said, you know, just when you're baptized, just, you know, the heavens open on Jesus. And he said, this is my son whom I love. And it's a sense of God's approval. You know, when you're baptized, you just feel that sense of God's approval over us. It's a wonderful when we're baptized. It's a glorious thing and a very precious thing. So I'm just going to pray for us now. And then there's the team are going to come up and we're going to worship together. I'm going to send the two candidates to go off and to get changed in a moment. But my encouragement are two challenges this morning. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you might believe in God and that's great. But that doesn't cut it. The scripture tells us the devil believes there's God. He knows there is. It's surrendering to Jesus Christ. And if you need to give your life to Christ, I encourage you to do that. Don't go home and not know what's going to happen to you. If that bus does come, where would I be? You'll know 100% if you give your life to Christ. And if you haven't been water baptized and you think, oh, look, you know, I don't really want to get wet. It's cold. It's winter. You know, I've just done my hair. You know. Put aside that and just say, no, I'm going to be obedient. And I want to follow what Jesus Christ has told me to do. Because I'm serious about going deeper. I really want to grow in God. And I know I've got to get the basics right. Because if I don't get the basics right, everything else is going to be built wrongly. Get the foundations right and then you will build everything well. So that's my encouragement. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us. Lord, we've been singing about the love of God, Lord, how much you love us, Lord. And Lord, you demonstrated that love through the cross, Lord, that reckless love that reached down, Lord, and pursues us, Lord. And maybe there's people here now, Lord, that you're just pursuing with your love, Lord. You want them to know how much you love them. Lord, you want them to know what it is to be in close, intimate relationship, to be loved of their Father, to have your grace upon their lives, Father. Lord, I pray that you touch each one. And Father, for anyone that hasn't baptized, Lord, I pray, Lord, they won't be feeling condemned today. But Father, they'll be feeling challenged, say, oh, I've got to get that one right. I've got to get that right, Father. Lord, and as they do that in obedience, Lord, they'll know incredible blessing as they follow you in that way. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all of us who are baptized. Lord, as we join in and celebrating with those that are baptized today, Lord, I pray there'll be just a fresh reminder of the newness and the freshness and the love and the life that we have in you, Lord, as we apprehended all that you've done for us, Lord. So, Lord, we want to give you glory and give you honor this day in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.